Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, reading verse 11 through 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, and this is Paul speaking, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We praise your wonderful and marvelous name. Lord, help us to understand the message today. Help us to see Jesus Christ, and help us to apply the Word of God to our lives, that we would become better and more faithful Christians. And Lord, I thank you very much for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our study on sanctification, and for a while now we've been talking about Peter. Some have the mistaken idea that Peter was perfect, that Peter was infallible. But we see here, and in the passage we're going to turn to in a few minutes, he made many mistakes. But the point is not to say, well, look what Peter did wrong. That's certainly not the point. Peter's someone to be looked up to and admired and followed, honestly, just as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But sanctification has to do with our change. When we come to Christ, instantly we're justified. We walk out of church, if we got saved in church, walk out of church, get hit by a bus, the next thing we'll know, we'll be in heaven. But he takes us in whatever state we are, and he changes us. He doesn't leave us if we're a drug addict. He doesn't leave us that way. He delivers us. Takes away the desire for meth or whatever the stuff is. He delivers us. Don't have to go to any meeting. Don't have to stand up and say, yeah, I'm so-and-so. I am a drug addict or an alcoholic or whatever. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But when we get saved, when we come to him, he then begins the process of cleaning us up. And that sometimes takes decades. But let's go ahead and take a look at the message for today. In Luke chapter 22, and honestly, as I began to study this, I go to the Bible sometimes because I have a sermon to preach. Sometimes I read it because, well, that's where I'm at, whatever day I'm at. Okay, I'm in Psalms chapter 6, and let's start reading there. Whatever the case. But quite often when I go to get a message, I start reading and then I get captivated. I've got a lot of stuff on my paper I'm holding in my hand, and a lot of it's X'd out because I can't take the time I want to teach through this whole chapter. I want to, As I was studying, I was leaping up and down inside and saying, man, this is great. I'm not going to be able to teach all this. I don't have time. Let me say, if you'll stick your nose in the book, he'll do something in your heart, and you'll be just like I said. You won't want to put it down. You'll get captivated, because there's life in the pages of the Bible. But Luke chapter 22, let's read verse 13. And he went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. We understand the story of the Passover. We understand the story of the Last Supper. Well, this chapter right here deals with those events. But jumping down to verse 24, notice what it says. And again, this is the Last Supper. Jesus in a few hours would be taken and crucified. But look what they were talking about. Look what was on the disciples' minds. Verse 24, and there was a great strife among them, which of them would be counted the greatest. When we get to heaven, I want to be first. The other guy says, no, I want to be first. This is silly. Their Lord is about to die. And they're worried about something millennia from now. Again, God takes us where we are on the basis of what His Son did for us, not on the basis of how good we are, or how holy we are, how good of a church member, do we sing in the choir, do we give in the offering. None of those things matter to Him. When we come to God and He accepts us, it's because it's on the basis of His Son dying for us and not our religious works. But they were arguing about who would be first. And if you didn't get to be first, maybe you could be second or something. But let's jump down to verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And we know Peter's answer. He said, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. Big boast. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock, or the chicken, the rooster, shall not crow this day, before that thou thrice deny that thou knowest me. And you can read some of the other accounts Matthew would have you, and he protested even more, says, oh, no, I'm not. And everybody else says, oh, we wouldn't deny you. But we know the story. They all ran away, it says. Some followed a little bit ways back, maybe John did. But Peter, oh, I'm ready to die for you, Jesus. Remember, in another account, it says he had a sword and he cut off the servant's ear when they came to arrest Jesus. Oh, I'm going to die for you, but they all ran away. But in verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And we know this story. But in verse 54 it says that they took him, they arrested him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. Again, you can read the other Gospels that gives the account of what happened, the trial and what have you. But it says, and they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, and Peter sat down among them. These are the guys, the soldiers that arrested the master. And apparently it was cold. You know, if you've ever worked construction, it's hot in the summertime, it's cold in the wintertime, you have to work outside. But a lot of times in the wintertime, there's a burn barrel. And every chance you get, you try to pass close to that burn barrel and warm yourself up, you know, a couple of minutes, what have you, before you get back to work. That's what these soldiers were doing. They arrested Jesus. They brought him into the hall, and they were waiting for the next order, or what have you, waiting to be told what to do next. So they went ahead and started a fire in the burn barrel, or whatever the case was. And Peter sat down with them. Jesus, I'll never deny you. And yet he's sitting there warming himself by the fire with the guys that arrested the Lord. And a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, who's Jesus? I don't know who that is. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Or, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, the rooster crowed. And it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. It's natural to want to save your skin. It's natural. In fact, a great part of our society is based on the fact that you care for you and yours. But he had boasted that he would not deny, that he would defend to the death. He would never deny Jesus. But Jesus at that table, the Last Supper, prophesied and said, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me 3 times. I can't imagine how Peter felt after Jesus looked over at him. I can't imagine. But it says he went out and wept bitterly. Now this is all part of the Passion story. When Jesus rose from the dead, they were all amazed. They couldn't believe it, some of them. Thomas says, I'm not sure I believe it unless I can touch where they put the nails in his hands and where they shoved the spear in his side. I saw him do that. I'm not going to believe until I can put my hand in that side. After several appearances, it says in one gospel that some still doubted. But the resurrection, and on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came and empowered them to preach, to carry the gospel around the world, God did something in their lives, and that's a wonderful, wonderful story, wonderful thing to study. And it applies to us today. I testified earlier, as you come to God, when you surrender to God, when you say, I'm tired of living for me, I know I've done wrong, ashamed of what I did, the way I've lived, God, please forgive me. And let me tell you, it's not guesswork. It's not guesswork. When God accepts your heart, and that you mean it, that you're sincere before Him, and your faith is right, you'll know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you will know when God has done something in your heart. It's not, let me go down and shake the preacher's hand, and he told me I was saved, and he gave me a little booklet. Well, I guess I'm a Christian. No, no. When you get saved, you'll know it. You'll know it. You will know that God has done something in your heart. In the story of the last few hours of Christ's life and the resurrection, it's a powerful story. But Peter denied the Lord. Peter, it says he went and wept bitterly. he probably figured, man, I've thrown it away. I've lost it. I mean, I might still be a Christian. I might make it to heaven, but there's no way God's going to use me. I mean, I walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. I slept in the same fields, underneath the same trees. I mean, sometimes we were invited in to somebody sleep on their living room or whatever, but most of the time it was outside. But everywhere we were, every day, day and night, I was with the Lord. And I don't know what I was thinking. First, I shouldn't have made that boast, I'll die for you. But I denied him. Not once, 3 times. In one of the Gospels, it says that Peter cursed his name. Cursed God. And says, I don't know him. He said, I'm through, I'm finished. God will never use me. But in Mark chapter 16, at the resurrection, and it says, Mary Magdalene, when the Sabbath was passed, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, they all came and brought spices to the tomb to anoint him for burial after the fact. And there were reasons why that I can't really go into now about the Sabbath and being unable to work and what have you. But they came on the Sunday morning. And they found the stone rolled away. And they found the angel sitting on top of the rock. And of course they didn't understand, what have you. But the angel made it clear, Jesus is risen. He's not here. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now from Peter's perspective, he realized he blew it. Why would God ever use him? Why would God ever trust him? Oh, I want to go preach for you. I want to go on a missionary journey. I want to do this. But I deny the Lord. Why would God ever trust me? Why would God ever have mercy upon me? I mean, I don't deserve to be saved anyhow. Why would you understand the thoughts in his head? But at the resurrection, when these three women came and found the stone rolled away, the angel said, tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. Mention him by name. Including him back in other words, to go to Galilee. And we can read the other Gospels and see that they met at a certain place and what have you. Peter blew it. Many times I've blown it. If you're honest, many times you blew it. But God loves you. And I know God loves me. I know the many times that I messed up and felt like I'd blown it, but the Holy Spirit gently confirmed to me and reaffirmed that God loved me and that he was patient with me and he was ready to pick me up, dust me off, and help me to get back on the way. That's what he did here for Peter. John chapter 21. And I've touched on this a little bit a few weeks back, what have you. John chapter 21, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And it says that they didn't know what to do. They were dejected. I mean, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, but I mean, he's not with us anymore. I mean, he appears every once in a while, and I guess he's going to go to heaven at one point, but we don't know what to do. And this was before the Spirit was poured out. They really didn't know what to do. They didn't really understand the Great Commission yet. They just didn't know what to do. And they said, I'm going to go fishing. And all the disciples, the former fishermen, said, hey, great idea. We're going to go with you. They rented a boat, what have you, got out there and didn't catch anything. And again, we've gone over this before. When they were called, it was the same event. They weren't catching anything. And Jesus said, hey, let me borrow that boat for a little while. They pushed out. And Jesus took a couple of hours, what have you, and taught the people. Then he said, throw your net on that side and you'll catch. And they did. The same kind of event happens here. In verse 5, Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said, Cast your net on the right side. And it says there were so many fish that they couldn't pull it up. The same kind of event. The same description. But they finally got the thing pulled ashore. And when they were done getting all the fish up on shore and went heavier, they said, Okay, we can rest a little bit. And they turned around, and there was Jesus. He had a fire. There were coals. He had been tending the fire a while. And there were fish on the grill or what have you, cooking. And again, the point of this passage here is to remind the disciples, oh yeah, and Peter, of what this was all about. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But it says in verse 15, So when they had dined, or after they finished eating, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these other disciples, Peter? And Peter said, Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, Feed my lambs. And he asked the same question two more times. Peter, do you love me? Now, what's not brought out in English is that the first time Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter remembered his boast, Oh, I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll even die for you. And Peter responded, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? Peter said, I phileo you. I love you like a brother. Jesus asked again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter kind of, man, felt terrible and said, Lord, I love you like a brother. Jesus said, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? Peter must have felt horrible. Twice the Lord asked, Do you love me unconditionally? And finally this third time, Well, do you love me just like a brother? Peter said, Yes, I love you like a brother. Man, why is he asking these questions? Man, I feel terrible. But the same answer, Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. We've talked about it before a few weeks ago that we're Christ's ambassadors. Not long after this passage right here, Jesus went to heaven. One day he's coming back, but it's been 2,000 years now that Jesus is in heaven. And we're down here as his ambassadors, and it's our job to do what he said, to feed his sheep. Again, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Peter made a bunch of them. But it's not about us being perfect, or as our message isn't, hey, come to my church, we're perfect, or what about this denomination? We're perfect. No, it's not about that. Guarantee your preacher ain't perfect. Guarantee preachers ain't perfect. We can think back the last 20, 30 years of preachers that wasn't perfect, got on TV and wasn't perfect. But the message has never been, or should have never been, look at me. Look at our denomination. It's not about that. It's about the Lord. Look at Jesus Christ. Imperfect. Man, we stink sometimes. We fail sometimes. We fester sometimes. We reek sometimes. But we can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. And we're to preach Christ and Him crucified. And be as Paul, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh yeah, and is risen again. We preach Him. We're imperfect people. We are certainly fallible. We certainly make mistakes. We certainly don't do a very good job many times. But let's remember to preach Him, Jesus Christ. Magnify Him. Tell people about Him. Invite people to come to Him. And not to come to the front, shake the preacher's hand, and join the church. Because it's not about the church. It's not about the church. It's about the Lord. And I know sometimes people get upset when I say that. But it's not about our church. It's not about our denomination. It's not. We're to do as Jesus told Peter 3 times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Take care of those that come to me. That's the pastor's job or the evangelist's job or what have you. To take care of sinners, bring them into the fold, and when they are saved, when they finally do decide to come to God, then you have to care for them and help them to be sanctified. Help them to grow up in the faith. I know you denied me 3 times, Peter, but do you love me? Feed my sheep. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.